accompanying us today. I don't look at church as a burden or anything like that. I look at it as a great place to be together to receive something that God has for me. And I just want to encourage you. I say that as a pastor, but I want you to be at a place that you're believing you're going to get something today. Amen. That you never had before. You're going to get increase of revelation, increase of something that you have need of is going to be met today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You come with expectation. You come hungry. Amen. And God will meet you where you are. I see a room full of hungry people. Amen. Amen. And I'm not talking about hungry for chicken or burgers. I'm talking about spiritually hungry for a move of God in revival in this area. Hungry to see God touch and transform this area in this community. Amen. There is no greater desire, and most people want to see God moving in their family and in the environment locally around them. Most people don't just pray for the mission field and not worry about what's going on around them. I'm believing those little kids are going to make an impact in their school. Amen. Because they have something that the world doesn't have. Amen. They're going to pray for their teachers that are hurting, that are put into a form of what they need to do. And that young child's going to come in there with joy and peace and love and be able to minister even to the teachers. Because kids can do that because the kingdom lives in them. And wherever the kingdom is, there's peace. Amen. Haven't got to the offering message, but it's an offering. Everything is an offering when you start reading the Bible. Everything's an offering. And when you understand that everything is an offering, it operates off of the same foundation and the same principles. So finances, words, it's all seed. And when the kingdom of God is sown, it starts operating. So when prayer is sown by faith, there's operation. Those kids have power in them that'll be able to handle anything that comes their way now. Amen. Amen. And you have it too. The problem is, as we get older, we get focused on what's going on around us, and we've seen so much stuff, we let that enter in and kind of weaken the power. But those kids, they will show you something. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. Luke 6:31. We're going to receive the offering here before we get into the message. But I want you to see something here. This is another opportunity of offering. And when we can get past the way we view things in the natural, we'll see the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God's operating. The key is it operating through us? And that's where we need to get to, is that we're being used by God. We're available for what God's doing. And this is just a tip of the iceberg, just a little faith jolt for each and every one of you concerning giving. Luke 6:31 says, "Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." You could say it this way. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. See, that's the kingdom, and that's opposite of the world. The world is, what can I get from everybody? But the kingdom is, what can I give to everybody? What do I have to give? Because it's more blessed to give than receive. Why is that? Because when you give, you're blessing that person, and it's causing God to, in turn, flow and bless you. So you actually get double blessing by giving. It's single blessing by receiving. It's blessed to give than receive because more happens when you give than when you take. This is bypassing your mind. Don't try to figure it out. You won't figure it out. It's kingdom. It's spiritual. Yeah. But when you sow, God promises to bring back a harvest to you. So what if you can look at someone else and say, you know what? I can help that person out. Guess what? That causes the kingdom of heaven to start operating because you're putting someone else above yourself. Yeah. And a lot of you here do that. A lot of you volunteer places. You help kids. You help with 4-H. People help in some. You help here and serve here at the church. And what every person that's serving at the church is doing is literally setting themselves up for a blessing. Amen. Amen. This isn't just money. I'm talking. This is life. It's a lifestyle of giving. And when you have that in your heart and you believe in that, it causes you to realize that you're looking for places to help somebody else out. I'm not looking for things, what can I get out of this situation? I'm looking, what can I give into this situation? Because it's bigger than me. And it allows God to move. Proverbs 22:9 says this, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." So someone that has a generous eye, someone that is looking to bountifully give into something else, causes God to move on their behalf. Did you know you can have a generous eye? There's people that literally, they see needs of others very quickly. They see the needs of people around them, situations around them. And, you know, when I was coming to church, I was thinking to myself, the church in Haiti that we're a part of and the things that they believe for and are working through with just total turmoil there, and people not starving, not having enough food, all these things and the spiritual battles they deal with. And I think to myself, as a pastor, that must be difficult to be able to try to provide for your own family, serve the Lord when there's so much chaos and so much lack around you, so much poverty. And I think to myself, we are so blessed in this country. And yet the world, the natural desire in our nation is selfish in and of itself. But yet we have all that we have. And it takes me back to just want to just get at the feet of Jesus and thank him for all that he's done for us. For all that those that have went before us have provided so we had this nation is what it is today. Amen. You can't take this stuff lightly because others have done this very thing. They've sacrificed themselves so we could have God's blessing upon what we have today. Amen. And guess what? You today have the ability to sow seed, to set the stage for those, even those young ones coming after us, to be in a better place than where we are now. And that's not just financially, that's spiritually as well. Raise a child up in the way they shall go, and they shall not depart. What does that mean? That means that you're offering the kingdom of God, and it allows the Lord to build and to grow in them his good pleasure and use them for his glory. So when we sow today, you're not just, it's not just money, monetary going into an offering. It is a spiritual seed that is setting in motion blessing for all around the world, for the kingdom of God to just be spread all around the world. Because who knows what your seed, where it ends up. Amen. You say, well, maybe it's for the electric. Guess what? It's so every one of you can sit here without sweating. Or it could be going to Haiti. It could go to Russia. It could go to Florida. It could go to Pittsburgh. It could go to Uganda. It could go to India. Who knows? Guess what? Your seed never stops. So what gets sown there, it multiplies there. That's to your account. Why is it so blessed to give instead of receiving? Because when you give, it's an unending, incorruptible seed that God can multiply. Amen. We sow into Haiti. Every person they minister to is going to be on our account. Think of that. Thousands of lives can be changed by your seed today. Thousands. Till Jesus returns, it's working. Till Jesus comes and takes the church, your seed is working. Amen. When you can grasp that, it changes everything. You stop looking at yourself. What your need for lunch today is peanuts compared to what God can do with, I don't want to say $5 because it costs about $15 to get a cheeseburger now. But whatever you give, It's supernatural. It's life-changing. Someone's eternal destiny literally can be in the balance off of your seed today. And it may not be you the one witnessing to them physically, but by you sowing, you're giving to men and women of God that are doing the work, and it's accredited to your account. It's accredited to you. You say, is it that easy? Yes. You can literally sow. I go do chaplain at the hospital, and there's salvations pretty much every week. It's to your account. Your sowing into new freedom allows me to go. You say, well, I can't go to the hospital. You're going by the Spirit and by your sowing. You go where you sow. Think of that. You go where you sow. So if you're sowing, you're going there. Even though you're not physically going there, spiritually, you're going there. Your faith is attached to it. And the reward in your life is attached to your seed. Hallelujah. Man, this is good stuff. You must see others' needs above your own. If that's the kingdom. If Jesus only saw his own need, he would have never came. Why come down and pay the price and die on the cross and be beaten and mutilated when you're already sitting in heaven? And you understand what I mean? What a sacrifice. But look at the payment. Millions of souls entering the kingdom of God because of Jesus Christ, because of one person. Are you the one person that's going to sacrifice something of yourself when you see the need of another? Amen. These are questions that are legitimate. We must ask ourselves, listen to this, a giver can't be cursed, only blessed. You cannot give and be cursed. You cannot give and be down and out and not make it. A giver will be blessed. God will honor your giving. You cannot be a giver and not be blessed. It's impossible with God. Impossible. If you want something rock solid, there's a truth. There's a promise. Amen. As you want men to do to you, you also do to them. When you do it, it's a guarantee you will reap what you sow. God is not a liar. He will not lie. He will bring it back to you. And we can go through many other scriptures. It's better to give than receive. He gives seed to the sower. All these are scriptures concerning seeing the needs of others above yourself. And that's the kingdom of God. And that's what you're a part of, church. Amen. Ushers, if you could serve the people. Sorry, I didn't mention if you need offering envelopes, raise your hand. A little late for that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's like a holy hush in this place. Wow. Don't be nervous. It's not nervous. Those listening online, I believe this is speaking to you. The Lord's working on your heart. What is it that he would have you give? You can give online. There's many ways to give. The ways to give is not the problem. It's the heart of the matter. Thank you. It's the heart of the matter. When I think about the currency of heaven, I think of people's hearts, people's lives. That's the currency of heaven. So if my heart is for God, man, I want to do whatever I can for the heart of other people, for their salvation, for their lives being changed, for their families being mended, for hearts that are broken to be mended. That's the eternal cause. And the church is dead center in the will of God to bring that to pass. We, the church, our focus should be on the souls of people. Not necessarily on the needs of people. but the souls of people. Father, I thank you for this seed here today. I thank you that your word is true. And whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. So, Father, I thank you for lives all around the world being changed and transformed. Families entering the kingdom of heaven. Entering eternity in heaven by the seed that is sown today. Father, we don't take it lightly. This is a holy matter. This is an eternal matter. And Father, I thank you that as we release our faith in you and trust in you, you work all things out for good to those who believe. And Father, we're believing for great manifestations. We're believing for revival, for healing, for souls being saved, and people enter and being written in the Lamb's book of life. So Father, I thank you for this matter, Lord God. And I thank you we put it in the Master's hands. And we look forward to the reward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, man. The Spirit. God is a good, good God. There's so much running through my head. There's so much running through my heart. I'm just excited about God. I get up here and you almost get giddy. And I know Pastor Joe knows what I'm talking about. You get up here and you get so excited. You get pumped. You just feel God. And you're having your own moment of joy and revelation. And you're like, yeah, but I'm supposed to be ministering to other people. But the Lord's ministering to me. It's a wonderful thing, but You got to trust in the Lord to get what he needs to get done, because I can't stand up here and have my own party and you just sit there and not partake of the party. So let's party together, church. Amen. Let's have a Holy Ghost party together. Hallelujah. He's got great things for us. I'll tell you, it's so great to not only know Jesus, but know that he loves you. And man, when you know that, you think to yourself, man, today's another day to expand and to multiply God's love and to understand God a little more than what I did yesterday. And that's my prayer this morning, is that you get more than what you had yesterday. No matter what it is, but either a fresh revelation, a word from the Lord, a healing from God, whatever it may be, but it will always be an increase. It will never be a decrease. It will always, always, in the kingdom of heaven, it is always increase. Never, never, never is it decrease. And as the world looks at it, that it's decrease. I got to give up this. I got to give up that. Well, the reason it feels like that to them is because you got to give up of what you want to allow God to flow and to give you more than you can ever get. You understand what I mean? God wants to give you abundantly above all that you could ask or think. So guess what? Your mind cannot grasp all that God can give you. So he has to get you out of your mind so you can receive by faith more than what you can ask. I know I'm talking a little quick for you maybe this morning, but I'm telling you, we can look at ourselves as here. God sees us above this roof. So we got to get away from our own intellect and our own ability to allow the presence of God to take us to places that we never thought possible. And I'm telling you right now, you're going places. Amen. Tell yourself, I'm going somewhere. And it's a good place. Amen. And it's not just heaven, okay? You're going somewhere on this earth that God has great things for you. Amen. Amen. You may be going to places to meet people. Amen. That are going to just sow right into you, that are going to just pray into you, that are going to help lift you and lift your hands. God places people in our lives by his will to lift us up. Have you ever been at a place where you've been down and all of a sudden this person calls or this person talks to you or some you get a text right in that moment where you felt down and all of a sudden the word came exactly what you needed that took you up out of that place? guess what? You may not be in a place that's down, and I pray you don't. But God wants to take you even higher than where you are. Even if you're at a good place, there's a better place. God doesn't stop. God does not stop. Amen. Hallelujah. So, today's message really doesn't have much to do with what I'm talking about. So, Holy Ghost, here it is. Amen. All that being said, the title of my message today is going to floor you, but it's the reality of the war that we're in, the battle that we face. And you think to yourself, what in the world does that have to do? He's speaking faith. He's speaking all this good stuff. That's Bible. But the reality is there's an enemy against you to try to keep you from getting there. It's not just saying, and you rub the genie, all of a sudden the genie comes out, give me your three wishes, and then they appear. It doesn't work that way. There's an enemy that's trying to keep you because he knows that you can get up there. God knows that you can get up there. But there's times where we doubt, and that's what keeps us from getting there. And that's the enemy keeping you from the blessing in the hand of God. Amen. So there's a battle. It's hard to get this across, so I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give it in a way that it speaks directly to each of you. Amen. So when I speak, the Holy Spirit will move it in a way that it directly meets each one of your needs. And that's my prayer. Amen. Because I don't know each need, but I know God does. And when we understand, I'm not glorifying the enemy. I'm not talking about that in a way to focus on that. I'm just saying the war's already won. Yeah. The war's already won. Amen. But we go through battles, but the war's already won. And if you can get in your spirit to see it that way, that Jesus already defeated Satan, he has zero power over you. The battle is between your two ears to believe that what Jesus did is for you. That's the battle. The battle is your faith. Amen. It's your faith. It's believing that the war is won. That's the battle. And it's hard to describe that naturally. You have to grab it in the spirit to realize everything that you have need of is already provided. Every sin that you'll ever commit is already paid for. It's just us believing that it's for us. That's it. The battle is you believing the finished work of the cross. Amen. That's it. Go home. That's the battle. If you can grasp that Jesus paid it all for you, amen, and he's working, the Holy Ghost lives in you, and he's working and giving you power to overcome every day, and you receive that power, you got the victory every day. But when you get in your head and you believe something, a lie, or you're listening to something contrary to that, that's when your battle starts. You can avoid the battle, amen, by faith. You can avoid the battles you face, the thoughts you have by faith. That is not of God. And you speak to that thing and you say, that is not of me. That's a lie of the... You win that battle, but you got to realize the war's already won. The end is done. It's finished. Jesus isn't coming back to go to the cross. He's coming back for his family. The body. Amen. That's what he's coming back for. So I want to get across to you, not to put fear in you, but to realize you already got what you have need of. You already have it. You just got to believe it's for you. You got to believe it's yours. And that's the battle that each individual faces. This isn't a corporate battle. When you win individually and you come together with other winners individually, corporately, yeah, you got it. But you have to individually walk by faith yourself. You can't trust in other people's faith to get your victory, because thoughts are going to come to you that don't come to other people. You're going to face battles and struggles in your own life that other people don't look at struggles like that. They don't see it as a struggle, right? So you individually have to know within yourself, oh, I got the victory. Jesus' blood has washed me clean. Amen. Personally, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not, oh, my pastor preaches good messages. Yeah, he's awesome. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad you think that. He is. I mean, the pastor at New Freedom is phenomenal. But I'm telling you, I can't answer for you. The blood that he paid for me, I have to apply to my life. He shed blood specifically for you, for your sin. And that has to be washed clean out of you for you to have the victory. And that's why you have different people at different levels. Because there's battles going on differently in everybody's life. But Jesus paid it all for everybody. So it's won, the war is won for everybody. But everybody's going through battles through this life. And if I'd be a liar to stand up here and say, as a Christian, you'll face no battles. The reason you go from glory to glory and faith to faith is because you keep your faith in God, and that causes you to go from glory to glory. It's not saying you're not dealing with things and things aren't in front of you, but you're not accepting them as you. You hear what I'm saying? The battle is a battle because you're entertaining the battle. If you can look at the battle and the persecution, when somebody says you're a Bible thumper, you pray in tongues, you're weird, that's persecution. They're attacking my Savior. They're not attacking me. So I don't entertain that battle that I'm missing it. I know my God. So it doesn't become a battle just because someone has a different philosophy or doctrine. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Persecution, it is a battle. Addiction is real. Addiction is real. Alcoholism is real. Pornography, it's a real thing. People face it. People deal with it. But the way to deal with it is by the Spirit of God in the blood of Jesus. In your flesh, it is difficult. Gluttony is a big deal. It's real. Yeah. Amen, it's real. I is it. Amen. I work through that kind of stuff. It's real. I'm not downing the reality of walking through this life. What I'm saying is you can walk through this life outside of your fleshly desires and live by the Spirit and get the victory over these things. Amen. We're not denying the flesh, but we are denying the flesh. I know that sounds weird, but that's the truth of the matter. We live in an earthly tabernacle that deals with sin and addiction and desires. Amen. We've went through things where we were raised in environments that maybe weren't the best. Emotional turmoil, words and opinions people have said about us that affect us. If somebody keeps telling you you're dumb all the time, you believe you're dumb. If the government says you're this, this, and this enough times, you start believing it. You hear what I'm saying? But that becomes a battle because you read in the Bible and then you hear it this way and they contradict each other and then you're in a battle which one to believe. But I'm telling you, church, you can get to the place where you take God's word as final authority and it doesn't matter what you hear, what you see, what you feel, the word of God is it. That's my final authority. That's the rock that I stand on. And when you do that, you can eliminate many battles in your life. See, a lot of times people are blaming the enemy for the battle, and a lot of times it's us just believing a lie that puts us in the battle. But you can straight up avoid the battle. If you prophetically can see something coming, you can say, I'm not going to be a part of that, and the Lord will take you around it. So you don't have to fight that battle. This is where the Spirit-filled life changes everything. And I'm not going to get into that. Maybe that's another week. But I'm telling you right now, there's many battles that we face that we don't have to face. They're by choices or by lack of knowledge or ignorance that we're in a battle because we didn't know or we made bad choices. And I'm not here to condemn anybody, but I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how bad your choices is. Jesus already paid for all your bad choices. So if you made dozens and dozens of bad choices over the years and you're in a place that you feel like you can't get out of, that's exactly where the Lord wants to meet you. There's no pit too deep. There's no lie too big that God cannot deliver you from. Let me give you some scriptures. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, and Timothy's a minister here, and the thing that Paul's getting across to him is, and that I want to get across to you, is that it is a fight of faith. And no matter where God puts you, you're going to have to operate in faith. Because God has placed giftings inside of you and callings inside of you, but he's also equipped you to fulfill it. God will never give you more than what you can handle. But what God gives you, you're going to have to operate in faith to be able to accomplish it. So God gives covenant in marriage. I'm telling you right now, you try to do marriage out of your flesh only, it is difficult. Difficult. But by the Spirit, he will show you and guide you. Because he ordained marriage, so he knows what's going on. He knows what we lack. He knows our insecurities. He knows all that stuff. I personally have to rely on God in every situation. Even standing here this morning behind this pulpit, ministering to you, I have to rely on God. I have to. Because in and of my flesh, I wouldn't be here. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be here. There's many of you that wouldn't be where you are today if it wasn't for God. If it wasn't for God, none of us, this building wouldn't be here. These chairs wouldn't be here. You wouldn't see the person next to you on Sunday morning if it wasn't for God. God is moving on behalf of his people. But Timothy here is being prepared to minister and lead the church at Ephesus, and Paul is sharing with him some truths on how to accomplish that. How many of you want to be able to accomplish God's will for your life? Hopefully every hand goes up. Yeah, so there's keys to doing that. Here's one of them. He says, Timothy, my son, this is New Living Translation, here are my instructions, or I charge you, based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier, may they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. You say, well, the Lord brings battles? No, the Lord came and battled and defeated the enemy. Now it's up to us to live for Christ and defeat the enemy in our own lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus came and defeated Satan. He defeated the enemy. So to live for the Lord and to live for God, we're going to face battles as well. But the way we face them is by the one that already defeated him, through Jesus. And I'm going to show you that. You must realize every battle that you face, Jesus is the answer. I don't care if it's a physical one, fleshly one, emotional one, spiritual one. Every battle, Jesus is the answer. Get that on the inside of you. Get that in your spirit. So when you need help, Jesus should be who you call on. You may call on your spouse. You may call on a family member. But I encourage you to call on Jesus first. Call on Jesus before you call your pastor. I'm telling you, Jesus has the better answer than your pastor. I'm believing that Jesus will give me the answer when you call. But if you can get it from heaven yourself, that's even better. It's even better. I know you love me and I know you want to talk to me, but I'm telling you, talk to God first. Talk to him first. He says, may they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying that prophetic words that were spoken over Timothy to pastor and to lead, it is faith in Jesus Christ will help you fight well the Lord's battles. So as a believer, we're in a battle. You have to realize that each and every one of you are in a battle. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. Amen. You are in a battle. The world doesn't realize that they're in a battle, but it's a spiritual battle. And we've been commissioned as soldiers, the army of God, to fight his battle. Amen. Even though he won and he's given us the victory, we have to walk it out. That's the key that you need to understand, is each individual has to walk out the victory that Jesus paid for them. If you don't walk it out, it doesn't automatically happen. What Jesus died for, he died for all mankind, but there's many people that aren't walking out what Jesus paid for. But we, the church, you're going to walk it out. Amen. You're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see Him, His hand upon your life, and Him moving things out of the way and bringing breakthrough into your life. Amen. Because Jesus already paid it. Verse 19, here's the key. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. I love that terminology in the New Living Translation. Because this gives us the realization that we have a part to play. Many people that are going through things are blaming God or blaming the enemy. And I want to show you something here. Notice what it says. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. Your conscience is your moral compass. And everybody has a free will. But your faith can be shipwrecked if your compass is off. You can make decisions morally that will shipwreck your faith. But on the flip side, on the good side, you can press into God and your compass will become more and more sensitive to God. Your conscience will become more and more sensitive to God as you grow spiritually. I don't like looking at the negative side of people making bad decisions to moral things, living in sin. What sin literally will shipwreck your faith. That's what it's saying. Sin will shipwreck your faith. Making a decision in your flesh will literally shipwreck your faith. But on the flip side, making good decisions, serving God, pressing into God, believing God in every situation, literally will sharpen your conscience. You will be sensitive to God, where morally, you will literally make better decisions on a daily basis. You'll be more sensitive to His Spirit on the inside and say, no, I don't need to be a part of that. Even though to the world it looks fine, to you, you know that morally that's not where we need to go. Amen. This is a good thing. This is a real good thing. So Paul is sharing with Timothy, cling to your faith in Christ. That means grab a hold of your faith and don't let it go. Don't let it go. Timothy, the key to being able to lead the church of Ephesus is to cling to your faith and keep a pure conscience. Keep your thoughts pure. Keep your actions pure. Keep your words pure, because that's going to keep your faith strong in God. I'm telling you, your words have power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, right there. That's another scripture that compares to that and encourages that and gives you understanding that your words have power. People want to gossip, you're shipwrecking your faith. Yeah, amen. A holy hush comes across the building. Amen. Your words will shipwreck your faith. Because when you're speaking negative about someone, you're contrary to the kingdom of God, and it's literally eroding your faith, and you don't even know it. So all of a sudden, you get caught up in gossip, caught up in talking about somebody, caught up on social media. All of a sudden, you're like, where's God in this situation? Your moral compass got out of whack, and your faith got shipwrecked. So we have the power to keep our faith turned on. Amen. We have the power to keep our... I know this is not exciting, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you what is needed for you to get the victory. For win every battle that you face. If you can control your tongue, there's a lot of battles that you won't have to face. Because you'll be speaking life into the situation, and it won't give the enemy any ammunition to bring separation. I'm telling you, right in a marriage, let's be honest. You keep your mouth shut, there's no battle, because it takes two to fight. So if one says, I'm not being a part of this, guess what? The battle is shortened. And all the married people are like this. Yeah, it's that simple. You say, man, but that's hard, Pastor. I got to say what I need to say. The truth is, I got the truth. I'm going to be able to set my spouse free. I got to speak. Is it the truth? Is it the truth? Are you speaking blessing to your spouse in the midst of a fight? Or are you speaking cursing? Come on. I love preaching. It's wonderful. Hey, we all deal with it. I'm not just talking about one area. I'm talking about your boss. Or if you are a boss to the people under you, how are you treating them? How are you talking to them? Are you as a leader shipwrecking their faith by talking down to people? See, this happens in every area. And we wonder why there's times where doubt and unbelief creep in, but all we're talking about is the things of the world or our feelings and our emotions. Iron sharpens iron. So when you talk to other believers that are full of faith and sharp and glorifying God, you're sharpening your faith at the same time. You're feeding off of each other to strengthen. Why is Sunday morning powerful? Why? Believers are coming together to get fed by God, worshiping God, praising God. We're giving glory to God. That's why there's peace and joy in the house. Amen. That's why you get fed and you get encouraged and you're like, I'm going to conquer this week. But if all I do is stand up here and gossip about the election or what's on the news all the time, and that's all I talk about, you're going to walk out of here depressed. I guarantee it. You don't even watch about the election because it's the same garbage time and time. It's a soap opera. It is a literal soap opera. Amen. I'm not getting on that because that's not going to bless you. Amen. It's not going to bless you. So cling to your faith, he told Timothy, in Christ. You can have faith in a lot of things, but it needs to be in Christ. It needs to be in Christ. Your assurance, your belief system, your conviction has to stay in Christ and keep your conscience clear. So Timothy had to cling to Jesus to accomplish what he was being asked to do. We, as believers, must cling to Jesus to be able to accomplish the task that the Lord has for each of us as individuals. There's a measure of faith the Lord has given you to accomplish what God has asked you to do. You have to cling to Him to accomplish the task. There is grace available for everything the Lord is asking of you to do. There's grace available to the battle that you're facing right now. His grace is sufficient. His grace. There is power available in the midst of your battle that you're facing right now. Power from God. Grace. Unearned power that's available for you right now in the midst of your battle. That's how good God is. God does not, He's not looking at what you've done or haven't done. He's not looking at where your faith level is or where your devotion level is. He's looking at your heart. And His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight for true faith, the New Living says. Other scripture, New King James says, fight the good fight of faith. But New Living says, true faith. Fight the good fight of true faith. That means don't fight in areas that aren't for God. Don't war within the members. Don't war with other people. Don't fight other things. I know a lot of people say you got to fight for your cause. Well, the way you fight for your cause is through Christ. And if Christ isn't in your cause, you need not be fighting for it anyway. You're wasting your time. Fight the good fight for true faith. Hold tightly to eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. This, if you get anything, get this. What is Paul saying to Timothy? Hold tight to eternal life. If I need to hold tight to something, that means it has the potential of being released and leaving. You know, when I was a little kid, you get a balloon. They're like, hold tight to that. And then you go places and you see balloons and you see the little kid crying. They didn't hold tight. Why didn't they hold tight? They were told to hold tight. We're told many things in Scripture about what to do. Why is it not coming to pass? Why did the balloon float away? What caused the child to release of that balloon. Did they? I don't believe this. I don't believe they physically said, you know what? I want to see it fly. I don't want this balloon anymore. If that was the case, they wouldn't be crying. But why did they release the balloon? Other things around them caught their attention. And they lost hold of it. They decide, I'm thinking about this. And they go do something else. They see a horse or a goat at the fair, and all of a sudden the balloon's not as important as it was before. But then when it's gone, it becomes important again. But it's too late. Church, this is a word for you. This isn't in my sermon. This is a word for you. Hold tight to your faith. Grab a hold of that eternal life. Don't be sidetracked. Don't look at other things to try to obtain greater or have priority over eternal life. Never, never, never. Don't. Don't go running after money or running after something and lose sight of eternal life in the process of doing it. Please, please hear my heart. Don't do that. Don't run and strive for things. Try to get up at a job. Try to get a mansion on earth and lose. Make that priority. Eternal life is everything. Nothing should trump or come above my eternal destiny. Everything I'm doing should be connected to my eternal life. Because if it's not, guess what? It brings you so far away from eternal life or from what God is doing in your life that you can't hold on to both. You can't serve two masters. You can't do it. You can't serve God and money at the same time. You'll gain the whole world and lose your soul. You'll release of the balloon if you try to gain the whole world. God wants you to have eternal life, but we can still operate in this realm. But we have to operate through eternal life into this realm, not in this realm and hope for eternal life. You understand? Don't release of eternal life. Don't release of being written in the Lamb's book of life. Keep the focus on the priority. And if there's anything that's pulling you too far away from that, you need to ask yourself, should I be there? And I'll answer it for you. No. If it's causing you to release from the grip of eternal life, you have to ask yourself why. Even if it looks good. The grass is not greener than eternal life. I'm telling you right now. There's nothing in this life greater than eternal life. There's nothing even comparable to it. All of a sudden it got so serious. Hold tightly to eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many. God has called us to eternal life. We're called to that place. He created us for eternal life. Romans 7, 21 through 25, New Living Translation. This is a battle that a lot of people face, including myself. And you think, oh my golly, you have battles? Yeah, we all do. We all do. You got to realize that Life is a battle. The enemy is trying to steal your joy, he's trying to steal your peace, trying to steal covenant with your spouse, trying to steal the word of God out of you, trying to shipwreck your faith. It's constant pressure. But it's not more than what we can handle when we know the truth. We are free from it. Watch this. Many of you are going to be like, I can't believe that's in the Bible, because we all deal with this. Verse 21, I have discovered this principle of life. This is Paul talking, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Anybody been there before? Oh man, this is what I need to do. Oh my golly, I messed it up. I knew I was supposed to do this, and I didn't do it. We all deal with it, maybe daily, where you know what you should do, but you end up doing the wrong thing. Yeah. Living reality. You think, oh my golly, Paul's talking about this. Yes, it's human nature. to do that. I have discovered this principle of life. See, this is a principle in this life. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. I love the Word of God with all my heart. We've all said that. I love God. I love His Bible. I love my church. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. There's a battle. Everybody say battle. It's in the mind. It says it right there in Scripture. That's the battle. Paul had to face this. We have to face it. Ministers have to face it. Where no one doesn't have it. Everybody has to face this. I can't think of the word. Immune. Nobody is immune to this. I love the law with all my heart. Oh, Jesus, I love you. And then you end up messing up. What is that? Why does that happen? I'm getting ready to tell you. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. So your sin nature of this world that you were born into operates on that realm. But when you get born again, your spirit operates on a kingdom principles. So your spirit's like, I want to do right. But your old fleshly nature falls into its past ways. So there's the battle. That's the battle. Guess what? There's an answer. There's an answer to it. It's coming. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Verse 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. When you know to do what is right and you mess up, you feel not good. Right? You feel miserable when you know what was right. Oh, the Lord was speaking to me to minister to this person, and I just didn't do it. And I missed the opportunity. You feel miserable. Oh, I should have prayed with that person. I missed that opportunity. The enemy wants you condemned, like you'll miss every opportunity till Jesus comes. And that's that old nature in you makes you, it wants to condemn you. And the enemy comes along and tries to accuse you that you're not good enough or you don't have the right words to say. Does this make sense? Anybody else deal with this besides me? Only me and Paul. Me and Paul deal with this. No, this is legitimate where, and it's not just ministering to a person, it's life in general. It's words we say. I knew I should have kept my mouth shut, but I just couldn't resist. I knew I shouldn't have got on social media and commented on this. I shouldn't have liked that. I shouldn't have got excited when my neighbor that I don't really care for, something messed up at their place. I shouldn't get excited about that. I don't have that problem. My parents are my neighbors. Amen. Love you, Mom and Dad. Amen. Oh, what a miserable person I am. See, that if you allow misery to come upon you and you accept that, that causes you to spiral to a place of your faith being shipwrecked. Oh, well, I missed it. I'm not good enough to do it. Come on, let's be honest about these things. You feel at a place when you miss it that you're going to miss it every time. And then people overcompensate and try to convince themselves, I gotta go get five people saved tomorrow because I missed the one today. That's our flesh trying to recuperate and make ourselves feel better. When all we need to do is say, Jesus, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'll be ready next opportunity. Or that thought that comes your way, man, that is not of me, but I can't help but thinking about it. And it makes you miserable, doesn't it? Why am I thinking about that? This is real life scenarios. You may have woke up this morning thinking some stupid thought like not coming to church. So, are you guys awake? Yeah, like not coming to church. Oh, I got too much to do. Grass is growing. Weeds need to be pulled in the garden. I got to do this, this, and this. That's a crazy thought. And then you miss church and you feel miserable for missing church. Oh, I got to come Sunday night because I miss Sunday morning. I got to read an extra chapter in the Bible, make myself feel better and holy. Come on, you guys deal with this. You're not human if you don't. We're in a fleshly body, a sinful nature around us that wants us to feel bad, and the enemy feeds on it. He wants you to feel miserable, and then he'll send people that are stuck in misery to come be miserable with you. I understand what you're going through. Your family's this, this, and this. Or, yeah, my neighbor's like that too. Or this person's like that too. Yeah, my boss, he's this, this, and this. Yeah, so's my boss. You know, he's terrible. And you just, you work together. You gossip together. And then your conscience is seared. And then your faith is shipwrecked. That's how the enemy operates. And if you can see that, you will not get caught up in misery. You will not get caught up in your flesh being good enough. You'll say, I know my flesh isn't good enough. I know I need God. So you put your faith in God. So when faith is in operation, your flesh can't be working. Your flesh submits to your faith. But when your faith is shipwrecked, your flesh rises up. See how this operates? There's a balance. So when you keep your faith turned on and on fire for God, and I ask people, how on fire for God are you? Why? Because if they're not on fire, their flesh is raging. It's for someone to say, I love God, and they're mean. They don't love God in that moment, because God is love. So you can't be mean and say you love God unless your flesh is in operation. Amen. This is how you can operate with people. People, I love God, and then they're gossiping. You don't love God. Not in that moment, you're not, because you're letting your flesh talk about another believer or another church or a minister or somebody else. Don't get caught up in that. You can avoid a lot of battles and a lot of shipwrecked faith where you feel obligated. You got to go pray for hours because you missed it. Keep on fire for God, and you'll rise over the battle. You'll rise right over it. Not saying you won't have struggle. The higher you rise, the more persecution you're going to have. So the battle may look different for you. As a pastor, my battle is different than a congregation member. Some of them are similar. Some of them are different. All right. Other ministers won't talk about the congregation. They'll talk about the leadership of the congregation. All right. So there's persecution in different ways. But I can't get caught up in comparing myself to other ministers. What does that do? That makes my conscience off a little bit, and it shipwrecks my faith. I don't walk in what God's telling me to do because I'm trying to be like somebody else. And they have the grace and the gifting to operate in that, and I don't, so I'm trying to do it in my flesh. See how this works? And then when it doesn't work, you get miserable because you're, oh, Lord, I'm serving you, but you're trying to serve the Lord through somebody else. Let me take it down to a different level, I guess. At your job. God's gifted you at your job to be who you are. Don't be like somebody else. He's given you gifts to operate in. So if you're trying to operate like somebody else or live vicariously through somebody else, you got to do it in your flesh. Because God doesn't want you to be anybody else. He wants you to be you. And when you are you, his grace comes upon you, and you do great things for God. So, here Paul's having this struggle in Romans 7. Oh, miserable person I am, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? This is Paul talking. How in the world is he talking like this? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Verse 25. Everybody say, verse 25 is the answer. Oh, here we go. Thank God. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. The answer to all your misery and all your battles and all your frustrations and all your emotional turmoil and all your mental issues. All your thoughts and feelings and things that, oh, I should have done this, I should, but I didn't. Oh my golly. Jesus. Jesus. He fills the gap. He makes up. He came and died for your sin. Missing the mark. Anytime you miss the mark, call on Jesus. And guess what? Repentance comes in healing. You want to live in victory all the days of your life? Have a repented heart. I'm not saying live in sin consciousness that you're no good and you miss it all the time. What I'm saying is be ready. When you do miss it, you know the answer. You already have the medicine for the problem. Jesus is the medicine for this life's problem. So as believers, we shouldn't be focused on, well, who's going to win the election? I guarantee you, if Trump wins the election, there's still going to be problems. If Harris or whoever wins the election, there's still going to be problems. You will not have to pull, you cannot pull away from God based off of who goes in office. God will have to be the center of your life no matter who goes in office. So where should your time be spent? With the one that you need constantly, not the one that moves in and out that's of the flesh. Our Savior is Jesus, not a candidate. You will need Jesus no matter what candidate you get. We're living in a time you're going to need Jesus more than ever. This isn't a time to joke. This is a real time. The time is short. The enemy knows his time is short. Guess what? I know his time's short too. So even though he is coming against the church, guess what? I'm coming right back at him because I know his time's short as well. So I look at the day and the hour we're living in as a wonderful time because I know God's grace has given me what I need to overcome the times we're living in. And guess what? There's grace enough for you for the victory for the times that you're living in. There's enough grace that's available for those children in the times that they're living in. You don't have to talk negative when you know the positive. Jesus, the Redeemer, is here. He came. He set the captives free. Everything that those little kids will deal with, God's already provided. This is faith. My faith is not shipwrecked. Shipwrecked faith would be down and out, negative. It's horrible. This is the worst time in history. No, history repeats itself. All the things that we're going through have been here since the world began. It's nothing new under the sun. You just got your thinking off of worldly words instead of God's word. And that's the reality of the battle. The battle is of the mind. Second, or 1 Peter 2:11, New Living Translation. All today is New Living Translation. I'm just getting on fire for the New Living Translation. 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. I can't say it plainer than Peter. So Paul talked about it. Peter's talking about it. Temporary residents. Every child of God is a temporary resident of this realm. We are not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying. And then it says, as a child of God, keep away from worldly desires that do what? They wage war against the soul. Your mind, will, and emotions. So as a child of God, worldly lusts of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are bombarding your soulish realm. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, stay away from that. Stay away from that. This is why the kingdom of God is like a little child. This is easy. It's the application that we struggle with. It's the doubt and the unbelief. People don't have a faith problem. They got a doubt and unbelief problem. Because mustard seed faith will move a mountain. And God gives everybody a measure of faith. So every single human being has mustard seed faith. They just don't know they have it. Or they don't know it's powerful enough to move the mountain that's before them. Hey, come on. You get a hold of this stuff, you can be a little child and you'll speak to that mountain. That mountain will move as far as the east is from the west. Right out to the sea. There it goes. It's not a faith problem. It's a doubt problem. We're believing things contrary to God's word, or we're putting them in a higher level than what God's word is, and that shipwrecks our faith. So it's faith has power, but if you pile so much on it and you believe so much, you can't hear or believe that mustard seed faith that's on the inside. That's why kids operate so well in the things of God, because they don't have the junk of the world piled on top. They're just simple faith. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. I'll tell the world that Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Love your neighbor. Kids will walk up and sit in anybody's lap. There's no stranger danger with kids. Kids are free. They love everybody. They'll run and jump in anybody's lap. They'll get in anybody's car. Right? But we adults are like, danger. Be concerned. Be worried. Get in fear. That's really what it boils down to. And we got to release of that stuff and allow God in our faith to operate. So much to share. 2 Timothy 2:1 through 7. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. The grace, the power to overcome, is only through Jesus Christ. You cannot find grace to overcome this world anywhere else. The world will look to money. The world will look to fame. The world will look to, if I have enough votes, I'll overcome. The grace is in Christ. There's only one way, and only one person to release the power. My dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ. God gave it. Christ has it. Where's the third part? Us believing that it's for us. You believing that it's yours. God made grace available through Jesus Christ. So when you receive Jesus, you receive all the grace that he has for you. So guess what? Every battle's won. Every battle I face, every struggle I face, I'm believing God for a building for this church. You're believing God for a building for this church and property. Guess what? I'm believing on the grace of God. Because I know in my flesh, I ain't building a building. And I'm not paying for a building in my flesh as of right yet. But if the grace pours out and someone just lays it out there, I will sign the paper and we build a building. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? But I can't do it in my own power. I'm believing God in his grace. And it's sufficient for our need. Amen. I want to see a Bible school. I want to see homeschool, co-op. I want to see all kinds of stuff come out of a church building. Not just preaching on Sunday morning. Man, it's kingdom family. We're going to do all kinds of great stuff. But it's going to be by the grace of God. Because one man can't do it. One woman can't do it. But God can do all things. Hallelujah. You got to see your life that way. Your marriage that way. Your family that way. Man, my kids rebellious. I'm telling you, the grace of God will give you the wisdom to handle your child. Amen. Whew. Verse 2. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. That's my desire, is to pass on what the Lord has given me to you so you can pass it on to others. Amen. Verse 3, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. New King James says, let me keep reading. Verse 4, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, you were commissioned by Jesus to do the work of the Lord. And if you get caught up in civilian things, you're not going to do what you were enlisted for. Hey. There's things that I get task-oriented. I see things around the house to do. Not that my wife gives me a to-do list. I see things. I like things a certain way, believe it or not. I like things a certain way. And they start speaking to me. And then I start thinking on them. And I don't focus on what the enlisted person's telling me to do. Jesus. Because I get caught up in tasks. Civilian activity. New King James says entangled instead of tied up, entangled. And I think to myself, anytime you're entangled in something, you're restricted. Think about it. Anytime you're entangled, you're restricted. You can't flow. You can't move. See, that's what the world wants you to do, is so busy doing worldly things, you can't serve God. You can't do godly things because you're caught up doing worldly things. That's what he's saying here. Don't be caught up, don't be entangled or tied up in the affairs of civilian life. Let me end with this, attempt to end with this. I want you to think about this and get this in your spirit. Satan hates God. We all know that. Satan hates God, but he can't hurt God. And Luke 10:18 says, Satan fell from heaven like lightning. That's a quick response. So what does Satan do? What's the next best thing that God has besides his son Jesus Christ? You and me. The apple of his eye. The crown jewel. So if Satan can't get to God, he'll go after the next best thing, which is you and me, children of God, God's creation. So I'm sharing that with you because I want you to understand that there's a battle that we're facing. There's a true enemy that we're facing, but he's already been defeated. So the war is won. And you may say, well, the battle's begun. But guess what? You have the tools. And I didn't even get into this, Ephesians 6, the armor of God. You have the tools for battle. If there was no battle, you wouldn't need any armor. Ephesians chapter 6 should not be written in the Bible. And if they take that out of my sermon and post it on social media that I said that, just in that context. Anyway, Ephesians 6, some of you are getting what I'm saying. Ephesians 6, the armor of God, is for a purpose because we're in battle. We'll get into that some other day. But I want you to realize something. Satan's trying to steal your joy and shipwreck your faith. So much to say. Let me end with this scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let that scripture just speak to you. Thanks be to God. Thank God who gives us, who has already given us the victory through Jesus Christ. Every battle you face, every struggle you face, every temptation, every persecution you face, thanks be to God, we have the victory through Jesus Christ. If you get anything out of today, realize that one person has given you the ability for victory in every area of your life. Even sin itself, you have the victory over because of Jesus Christ. I want to say thank you to those listening online. We love you. Hold on. Don't. We still online? All right, keep them. Keep them. The Spirit said there's more for them. If you're listening online and you're near a piece of paper and a pen, I want you to grab it or a notebook and you're taking notes. In the congregation, you have papers that were on your chair. And I want you to grab a pen and grab that piece of paper. Yeah, if you need a pen, ask an usher. We're going to do something here today to put our faith in action. Because I truly believe that there is an attack against the church and against believers. And there's things that are holding believers back from rising up, hindering them from succeeding. Things that have been tying me up, entangling you, holding me back, slowing me down, keeping you limited at a limited level. I haven't seen the increase that I desire. This is what I want you to do with your paper. If you need a pen, raise your hand. I want you to write down 1 to 3 things that are really, you feel, are holding you back from what God has. And what we're going to do is you're going to write them down and fold them up. We're going to open that garage door and we're going to burn that piece of paper in Jesus' name. And it's never going to affect you from this day forward. And this is another way of releasing your faith into what God wants to do. For instance, thoughts you have that are not of God that are holding you back. Lies. Maybe it's tasks. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's your intellect. You analyze things too much. Maybe it's other people's opinion. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's your own will. Maybe it's pressure to perform at a certain level. Maybe it's comparison, or maybe it's compromise. It's between you and the Lord. Nobody else needs to know. The person sitting next to you does not need to know. But I want you to write 1, 2, 3 things, maybe 4 things. Whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I want you to write it down. Things that you believe are holding you back. Because when you write them down by faith and we pray over them, we're going to declare the victory. Those listening online, you can do the same thing. If you don't have a pen, I understand you may not be able to burn the paper where you at or where you live if you're listening in your car. I get that. But you can throw it in the trash wherever you are. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm believing your life will never be the same again. I'm believing where you are now is the least that you'll ever have, in Jesus' name. 1 to 3 things that you feel are holding you back. Things that the Lord has spoken to you even today in the service. Maybe it's something like, I won't be a good parent, or I haven't been a good parent. Don't believe that lie. God will make up the difference. His grace is sufficient. Faith works where the will of God is known. And there's times in our life, even today, where we can't believe for something because we don't know about it. But once you know about it, you can believe for it. So whatever it is that you're writing down, you're believing God for a change in that area, and that's no longer going to hold you back based off of what you know today. Based off of what you know today. Don't live off of yesterday. Live off of now. The revelation you have right now. Amen. I want to just give a couple extra moments. This is big. This is you saying, looking at the enemy right in his face and saying, no longer. No longer are you going to keep this. No longer are you going to have a hold on me in this area. I have the victory because of Jesus. What you're doing is you're writing down the battle that used to be. And you're getting ready to walk in the victory that's provided for you. Thank you, Lord. It will no longer have a hold in my life. I lay it down. I open myself fully to you, Lord. I'm telling you, I see freedom all over this place. Your ability to be honest with yourself and write it down is the first step to your freedom. Realizing that it's a problem, realizing that it has a hold on you, and saying, you know what? You used to have a hold on me, now you don't. Lean into God. You're exchanging a truth for a lie. That's exactly right. You're exchanging a lie for a truth. That's what happens when you write down the wrong thing and read it. You're exchanging a lie for a truth, and God is going to produce a miracle. I'm going to pray for those listening online, and then we're going to operate our faith, because faith without works is dead. Amen. Because here's the thing, what the enemy will do. You'll take this message today and you'll be like, yeah, I dealt with what Paul dealt with, where I thought what was right, but I did what was wrong. That was really good what the pastor said, but you never take it to the next level and you never deal with it fully. This is dealing with it. This is cooking the thing. Amen. This is dealing with it, bringing an end to it, chopping the legs and the head off of the thing. That's what we're doing. We're literally cutting the head off of the lie of the enemy. The thoughts that you have, the limitations that the world has put on you. God is breaking you free today in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for those online. I thank you that if they're listening and they do not know you, I pray they come to know you. Lord, do a quick work in their life, in their heart right now, Father God. If they've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray they do so now. Jesus came to die, pay the price for sin. And as they trust in him and declare him as Lord and Savior, I believe they are saved based off of your word. Father, I thank you that what they are writing down, Father, I know you see their heart. You see their step of faith and their trust in you, Lord. And you're going to honor it. You're going to honor it. Breakthrough in Jesus' name right now. Breakthrough for them in Jesus' name. All around the world, breakthrough. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Hallelujah. Freedom in Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you for listening online. We love you. Have a great week. Praise God. For those that are here, I want you to, when you step out there and put it in that bin through those garage doors, when you walk out that door and you come back in, it's not coming back in with you. It's not coming back in with you. Remember, mustard seed moves the mountain? That mountain's staying out there to never affect you again in Jesus' name. Never again. Never again. So right now, I'm going to ask Pastor Joe, if you need time to pray or you want prayer, I want you, you can come forward after you come through. But we'll start in the back. They'll go out and then they'll swing around, come through the door. And just funnel through. Put your paper in there. We're going to burn it. And then we're going to have a party afterwards with ice cream for our kids. What better thing than to kick the enemy in the head and then have ice cream? What better thing? God is love. Man, I'm telling you, he knows what we have need of. Amen. We'll have a party to celebrate the victory. Amen. So, Pastor Joe, if you want to lift that, starting in the back.